Today closes out our series on I Am a Church Member. Okay? But that doesn't mean we need to stop doing what Scripture tells us to do after this week, right? This is not just a 6 week of being a church member. We're to be church members as long as we have left on this earth. And we're going to talk a little bit about what does being a church member mean? You know, church. This week's study is church membership is a gift. Okay, and we're going to talk about that. Just what does it mean, a gift? What's so important about church membership? And we're gonna look at that. I want to tell you how I became a church member. I was 9 years old when I was saved. I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. And I was at a small Baptist encampment out in way far west Texas called Paisano Baptist Encampement. Good place. Once you get there, you're there. There's no, you don't run into town to get anything. You don't walk. You know, there was no security because, you know, if where are you going to go? It's out in the desert. There's no place around there. But it's a good place. And they had this big rock outcropping. Gets at the foot of the Davis Mountains out there close to Alpine. And it's just, oh, it's beautiful. It's desert, but it's highland desert. And this huge outcropping of rocks. And we could climb up there and climb. It was really, really high. And there's this one place where the rocks, it was kind of split open a little bit. And it was about this wide. It was about probably 20 feet maybe through there. And you could wiggle through there and go through there. They called this place Fat Man's Misery. As a 9-year-old, I could run through there almost squared up, shoulder straight and everything. Went back as a college kid. I took some RA boys back there as a college kid, and I could no longer do that. Matter of fact, I had to get sideways and kind of shimmy through that. I still made it through, okay? But I don't even know if I can make it through it right now or not. A few years ago, there was no way I could have made it through there. And I will tell you that as there was a period of time, and I don't know what brought this on, but I would wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat, heart beating fast, because in my dream, in my mind, I was stuck in Fat Man's Misery. And it was real to me. I mean, I was there and I was stuck, and I there was no way out. And that, anyway, that was at this camp. One night, I remember we were sitting. We had worship center in the tabernacle, which did not have walls and had big kind of theater seats and big stage and all that. But the temperature and all was so beautiful out there. It didn't need walls. It didn't need air conditioning. But one night we had after tabernacle, we went out and we had this kind of a mini bonfire. It was like a large campfire. And somebody was out there with a guitar, I think. They were playing and we sang some songs. And the guy preached. He brought the word And I realized that I did not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I knew about him. I mean, I've been in Sunday school since 9 months before I was born. I mean, I was in church every opportunity. I sat through countless Sunday school lessons, but I'd never before been so impressed to receive his forgiveness and the gift of eternal life. And I will tell you that on that night, I received that. You see, I knew Romans 3:23. And just in case you want to know where I'm going today, in the bulletin on the back, there's call it the Roman Road or the Plan of Salvation, How to Be Saved, I think is what it's called in there. And I'm basically going to use that as an outline. I'm kind of going to walk through that. I knew the Romans 3:23 said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I knew that no one deserved salvation. I couldn't earn my salvation. That's what that says. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I knew that I, even as a 9-year-old boy, I knew that I had done some things. I had lied. Probably even to you, Daddy. I don't even remember what it was. It's probably something really, really small and didn't matter. Okay? But I had done some things. I knew that as a 9-year-old boy, I had done some things that were wrong, maybe not illegal, but certainly did not please God, and some things that I knew would not please my parents. So I knew that that fit me. I said, I know that. I knew Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But it didn't dawn on me until that night, I think, just exactly what that meant. Because I had done those things, my penalty was death. What I deserved was death. I didn't deserve eternal life. I deserved eternal death. And that got me, my heart beating a little bit. Oh, I don't want that. But then the rest of that verse said, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. I realized that what I deserved, but I also realized what God wanted me to receive. He wanted me to receive eternal life. And it's a gift. It's not something I earn. You don't earn eternal life. You don't earn salvation by being good enough. You can't do it. You know why? Back to 3:23. For all have sinned. Right? And the wages of sin is death. So I fit in that category. But I also believe the second part of Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. I believe Romans 10:9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. You know what that means, if you confess with your mouth? That means you actually speak it and you say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord of my life. You believe that. You say that with your mouth, and you believe in your heart that God raised him up from the dead. And the scripture tells us there in that passage, if you confess Jesus Christ and you believe in your heart, you will be saved. Amen. That's what I wanted. I wanted to be saved. It goes on, it says, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And some people will say, now wait a minute, that's salvation by works, because you're having to do a work to get salvation. I like to look at it like this. How do you get a gift? How do you get a gift? It's given to you. What do? When they bring it and put it in front of you and they hold it out in front of you, what do? Do you just look at it and go, that's my gift? You have to receive it. That's not a work. You're not earning that gift. You're not doing anything to make that gift yours. You're just receiving it. It's an act of receiving. And that's what that is. Confession and belief. That's an act of receiving the gift that God wants to give you. In verse 13, further in that chapter, it says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I did that. I did that. I called on the name of the Lord. I took comfort in Romans 8:16 that says, the Holy Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And then a little bit further in Romans 8:38 and 39, it says, for I am convinced, this is Paul writing, and he says, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither present, nor the future, nor any power, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. I stood up when the time was when they provided a time, and I stood up and said, I need to be saved. Amen. And a gentleman took me over just right outside the light of the fire in the shadows, and he sat there and he walked through these passages with me and several others, I guess, and he asked me, he said, do you why do you need to be saved? I said, because the Bible says that I'm a sinner, and the sinners, remember, I'm 9 years old. I said, sinners don't get to go to heaven without Jesus, and I need Jesus. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. And he led me through a prayer. Okay? That's not the magic's not in the prayer. Magic's not in the words. Magic's not in the doing or anything like that. The magic happens, and I almost cringe at calling it that, but the unexplainable thing happens when we're obedient to do as he's commanded. And here's what he's commanded. Confess with your mouth. believe in your heart, be changed, and I will save you. Be changed. Is that a work? Do we have to change ourselves? No. No. But if you're saved, will change take place? Yes. Yes. You see, it's one thing to say something. Matter of fact, there's an old saying that says, talk is cheap. Right? There needs to be some proof. There needs to be some validity to the statements. That's where the change is. We say, I confess Jesus as Lord. I receive Him as my Savior. I believe in my heart that which the Bible says about Him. We are saved. Then comes something else. All right? I'm going to touch on that in just a moment. A lot of people think that, well, now wait a minute. I'm not sure I understand everything exactly right. I need to wrap my head around this salvation thing so that I can be saved. I dare say that you can't. You can't. I know that because Scripture tells us that once we are saved, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us and makes known those things that are unknown, opens our eyes so that we understand. He interprets things for us so that we can understand, okay? But see, that comes after salvation when you receive the Holy Spirit, and so or at salvation when you receive the Holy Spirit. So for you to say, now wait a minute, I got to get my head wrapped around this. Let me tell you something. If you live in that mentality, you will live the rest of your lives without Jesus Christ because He is not understandable. You'll never wrap your mind and head around Him. That's why He says, you come to me through faith. Faith. What is faith? That's believing in stuff you can't explain. Simply put, I don't understand it, don't explain it, but I'm going to choose to believe in it. You see, that's where God wants us. That's how He has set all this up. So if you're waiting till you understand everything, oh, friend, you're going to be waiting for a long, long time, and then probably for all of eternity. And I don't want you to do that. We pray before church every Sunday, 8 o'clock. Be here. It's a good time. We prayed before church this morning, and I said, you know, I cannot convince anybody to be saved, to receive salvation. I can't do that. That's not, God has not given me that power, that authority, that silver tongue. I can't do all that. The Scripture tells me that the Holy Spirit is the only one that can do that. He draws men unto Himself, and women too. That men is not just the male gender of the species. He's talking about mankind. The Holy Spirit is the one that draws you. All I can do is to try to be the voice, to show what Scripture says. It's your job. It's your job to receive the gift. It's your job to open your heart, to stick your hands out, and receive what God wants to give you. That's your job. It's your job. That's what I did that night. Walked back to the fire, and I was excited, and I didn't have cell phones, so I couldn't pick up my phone and text my mom and dad. They didn't have cell phones either, and it was pre-cell phone era. I mean, this is way back. And but as soon as we got home, I told my mom and daddy. They were the first ones to know. Mom and daddy, I got saved. I it was at the campfire, and I relayed the whole story. I was excited. That very next Sunday, my sister-in-law played the organ. Before I think she hit the first note of the invitation, I was coming down the aisle. I was sat like on the third row because I wanted to be real close. I remember it was on this side, and I sat real close to the aisle. And as soon as the preacher, I don't remember if he prayed beforehand or not, but as soon as he said, well, this is the invitation time, I met him right there. And I told him, I said, I got saved at RA camp, but I need everybody to know and I'm going to be baptized. Amen. He said, well, okay then. And he prayed with me and made sure that I understood all that I could understand as a 9-year-old, and I did. And I was baptized by the Reverend Howard Shoot. That was his name, Shoot. Well, that's cool, you know. What's up, Shoot? But anyway, he was that was my conversion, my salvation experience. But I will tell you, but it was not until I was about 20 years old that really took hold of me. There was a period of time, 11 years or so, when I had received the gift, but nothing changed. I wasn't bad before. I wasn't bad afterward. I did some bad things before. I did some bad things after, okay? But I wasn't a bad kid. But at 20 years old, I realized that I had been given a great gift. What I had done is basically I'd taken that gift and I'd placed it on the shelf and I admired the gift and I claimed the gift. I let people know that I have the gift of salvation. It's there. I can take you and show it to you. It's over there. That's my gift of salvation. I would show people, look, I've been saved. See, there it is. Still all wrapped up with a nice bow and it's pretty. I had no clue what was inside it. I really had no clue. I had never opened up the gift. It was mine, but I was doing nothing with it. It was just sitting over there. And at 20 years old, I realized that. And I came back to God and I said, God, I'm so sorry. You've given me a great thing and I've squandered it. I've done nothing with it. No longer. No longer. I'm yours. And I gave myself as a gift back to God at that point. Was I saved before? Sure, I was saved. Was I living and being what God had called me to be? No. And I'm afraid that many, many people in church today will say, yes, I'm saved. I can take you back to my house, show you the bookshelf where I have the gift of salvation sitting up there. Don't have a clue what's inside, but I know I've got it. Look, and I can prove it, and I can show it to you right there. But many people have never taken it down, opened it up, and experienced the true meaning of what salvation is and what salvation was intended for. You see, a lot of people think that, well, I've got it up there. I've got my gift of salvation on the shelf, and then that day when I'm really, really, really old and I die, I can tell Jesus my salvation gift's on the bookshelf. Let's get it and go, because that's when I need it. Right? A lot of people think, I need my gift of salvation when I die and I'm standing before God in heaven. I can show him, say, God, there's my salvation gift box you gave me. Thank you. Folks, we need it now. We need it right now. Some of us need to go home, pull that thing off, dust the dust off the top of it, take an air compressor, blow the bow out, make it pretty again, and then rip the paper off, open it up, dive in, and experience salvation here and now. Salvation is not just a thing that happens at some point in the future. Salvation is now. It is. It's a gift. How many of you would receive a gift? A birthday gift, a Christmas gift, a Mother's Day, Father's Day, of whatever gift, and take and go, aw, and just set it aside and forget all about it. We don't do that. We want to know what's inside. When I say that church membership is a gift, I'm talking about the universal church, okay? Church membership, made up of all believers everywhere and for all time. When you experience salvation, that is when you come into a relationship with Christ, when you cross over from eternal damnation to eternal life, when you give yourself up to the Lordship of Jesus, you become a member of His body. His body is the church. First and foremost, primarily, church membership is the church, the body of Jesus Christ. I'm a member of that church. People across town in another church are a member of that church. People in the next town over are a member of that church. People on the other side of Texas, it's a long way, are a member of that church. People on the other side of the world are a member of that church. The church, capital T, capital C, the church. That is our primary gift. When you experience salvation, when you come into a relationship with Christ, when you cross over from all that, you become a member of that church. It's a gift. It's a gift. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 said, "For it is by grace you have been saved." How? Through faith. And this, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. You see, if I could earn it, I know myself well enough to be able to tell you that I would say, look what I did. I earned it. I put my blood, sweat, and tears, and money, and everything into that. And I fought through hard times and adversity and sad times and sorrow. And I earned it. And I'm proud of that. I would do that in a heartbeat, folks. I know myself well enough to know that. You know why? Because I suffer with pride. I do. I struggle. Y'all don't have any idea what that means. Right? Selfishness and pride. But God tells me, it's not by works so that no one can boast. No one can say, look what I did. All I can do is say, look what Jesus did for me. Amen. Look what He did for me. It's a gift. It's a gift. I have been saved. It's a gift. We receive it. Now what do we do with it? What do we do with that gift? Have you ever experienced one of those gifts when you take it and you politely say, thank you, but you have no intention of doing anything with it once they leave the room? Anybody ever received a gift like that? Well, two of you? Okay. I've received gifts when I'm like, what in the world am I going to do with that? I've already got four of them. Why do I need another one? I know I can wrap it back up and I can give it to somebody else. Right? And I won't have to spend money on a next Christmas. I can give that away. Or we take it and we go like, oh, well, that was kind of, that's the bottom line unit. You couldn't afford anything a little better than that one, you know, or something like that. That's not exactly what I wanted, sweetheart. I wanted the one with bigger tires. I wanted, you know, or whatever it is. I wanted the bigger, the better, the faster, the nicer, the fancier, the one with chrome shiny things all over it. I wanted something a little bit different. This is not what I really wanted, but I'll take it and I'll keep it because I don't want to get rid of it because then you'll be mad at me and I'd rather just, you know, we do all that kind of stuff. Is that how we treat gifts? Matter of fact, we can look at it and think this is not something I want, need, like. Matter of fact, I'm even embarrassed to show it to anybody. Sometimes we get gifts like that. Sadly, some view the gift of God in much the same way. I didn't need it, didn't want it, didn't like it. Matter of fact, I'm even embarrassed to show anybody. I'll just keep it. Matter of fact, I'll put it on the shelf and I'm going to put some books in front of it so that nobody even sees it. I know it's there. God knows it's there, but I'm not going to let anybody see it. I'm kind of embarrassed about it because it's kind of a, you know, for guys, I'm a guy. I can talk like this. I can say, you know what? Sometimes that's kind of sissy stuff, that Christianity. Talk about being the bride of Christ. Being the bride of Christ, I'm a dude. How am I going to be a bride? I don't get that. Don't understand it. That's sissy stuff. That's church is for women and children. You haven't got a clue if that's how you think. You haven't got a clue. Some will take the gift and they'll either throw it away or place it in behind a cupboard door or a drawer or even try to pawn it off on somebody else just to get rid of it. It's not something I wanted. They don't understand the gift. If we could truly grasp the magnitude of the gift of God, we would receive it, open it up, and put it to use because it's the greatest gift ever given, folks. We don't understand that fully yet. We can talk about it. We can understand more and more. by the power of the Holy Spirit as he explains things and shows us the magnitude of the gift. But we really, until we stand there, we don't really grasp the magnitude of the gift. I believe that if we could be convinced that this was true, I believe that if we could be convinced that the gift of God really is the best thing ever, it would be a life-changing experience for us. It was for me at 20 years old. 11 years after I was saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 12, verse 2, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." When you receive the gift, you'll be transformed, changed, different. How do we know whether or not we've truly received the gift of God? It says right there, we will be transformed. Transformed, changed. There's another old saying, the proof is in the pudding. Right? This is the best pudding I've ever made. It's got all kinds of good stuff in there and lots of sugar and some of this and some of that and some of that. Well, the only way to know is to what? Dig out that great big old spoon. I'm not talking about the teaspoon. I'm talking about the big serving spoon. You dip in there and you get you a big old swirl out and you put that in your mouth and you taste it, and then you'll know whether or not that's true or not, right? Same is true with us. I've been saved. I've been redeemed. I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Woo-hoo, I can stand and I can know all the songs. I even quote scripture and I clap and I raise my hands and I stomp my feet and I know how to behave and know how to act. Those aren't proof. The proof is what spills out of our heart, folks. The proof is in the pudding. If you cannot look at your life today and see a dramatic transformation from before BC, before Christ, if you can't see a dramatic transformation, then I dare say you may not have opened up the gift. And I say that because the same Spirit that raised Christ up from the grave cannot come inside of you, take up residence within you, and do nothing. The most powerful force, that is the Holy Spirit that raised Christ up from the dead. When he comes and lives inside of us upon salvation, when we receive Christ, Jesus told the disciples, he said, "I'm going to go, but I'm going to send the Spirit." And when we receive the Spirit and he lives within us, he doesn't come just to hang out. He doesn't come and kick back, put his legs up, turn NASCAR on, and just sit there and watch all day. That's not what he does. He comes in power, folks. There is power in the Holy Spirit. And he doesn't come and take up residence in you and then just do nothing. And nothing ever changes. I dare say that if you say, "Yes, I'm a saved Christian, I'm not changed, nothing's different about me," then I think you need to revisit that. I think you need to go back and say, "Now hang on, wait a minute. Did I really receive salvation? Did I really give myself as a gift back to God for the gift that he gave me? Did I exchange gifts with God?" That's a cool way of putting it. He gave me a gift and I gave him my life as a gift. If that really happened, you can't stay the same. Even if you try, you can't stay the same. When you understand the gift you've been given, you must respond. How do you respond, you might ask? Look at that outline on the back of the bulletin there. Transformation begins with confession. Transformation begins with confession, coming to God and saying, "God, I've messed up. I have messed up. I know that you see it as wrong, and I'm going to see it the way you see it. It's wrong. I've messed up. I confess. I repent." You see, a lot of people think repentance and confession are the same. It's not. Confession is agreeing with God what you did was wrong. Repentance is saying, "I'm going to turn from that, and I'm not going to do it again. I'm going to turn from that. I'm going to go the other direction." It's an act. It's an act not to earn salvation, but because salvation has been given to you, you'll repent. You can't just do nothing. Church membership is not just the universal church, though. Church membership is just not all Christians. Church membership is also this local body of believers. Being a member of this local body of believers requires a response also. How do you receive the gift of membership in this local church? What does it mean for you? What does it do for you? Well, sure, it gives you the right to vote in a business meeting, right? Yeah. Gives you your voice a little more weight, I guess, on some issues or whatever. Is that what church membership's all about? No. No. Church membership, being part of this local body of the church, means being active, doing something. I need to ask you a question. If you're a member of this church, I need to ask you this. How and where are you serving? There's the proof in the pudding. What are you doing? What are you doing with the gift you've been given? If you can't answer that question, I wonder if you have understood the importance of the gift. You see, there's a person who might be a little bit selfish, and he sees the gift as a gift for himself. This gift is for me. God loves me, and He saved me. That's true. And it's mine. You see, that's the pattern of this world. Right? It's all about you. Look out for number one. Get all you can. Whoever dies with the most toys wins. You know, all that stuff. You deserve bigger and better. The iPhone 5S no longer works for you because there's a 6 out, so you got to have the 6. Right? I'll get one sooner or later, but not right away. That's right, I might get the 6 plus because it's bigger and better, right? But that's our mentality. That's the pattern of this world. But Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. God, the child of God, sees the gift to be used for others. That's the change. That's the transformation process. God has given me a gift, and He's given me this gift so I can be a blessing to others, because other people need this same gift. Other people need what God has given me to bless them. God has given me the gift of salvation so that I can offer encouragement that people don't have. God has given me the gift of salvation so that I can offer people a hope that they don't understand. God has given me the gift of salvation so that I can minister to people who are hungry and broke and destitute, who need clothes. God has given me the gift of salvation so that I can extend that same gift to someone else who needs to receive it. That's being transformed by the renewing of your mind. I got to ask you, have you been transformed? Is there a change? Are you different? The proof is in the pudding. I am a church member. And it's a privilege, not a right. You see, here in America, we believe in that we all have rights, right? We have rights. If you get arrested, they'll read you the Miranda rights. You have the right to remain silent, from what I'm told. You have the right to remain silent, and you don't talk, and you don't have to. If you do, it's going to be used against you, all that kind of stuff. Those are your rights. You have rights if you're a member, a U.S. citizen. You have a right to vote. You have a right to pay taxes. You have a right. You get certain rights. Church membership is not about rights. Church membership is a privilege. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to receive the gift of salvation. It's a privilege to be able to fellowship with other people of like mind. It's a privilege to be able to work side by side with other people for a common cause and a common goal that is greater than ourselves. It's a privilege. I will treat church membership as a gift, not as something that's owed to me. You see, some folks will have the mentality, well, I'm a member of the church, so I got to get this. Church has to do this for me. I'm in trouble, I need to go to the church. Well, those things are true. But you see, that's part of a privilege. It's not a right. And it's a lot of times just a matter of perception. How do we view it? How do we see things? Church membership is a privilege. It's a gift. It's a gift. And I hope and pray that you see that as a gift. I hope and pray that you see it as a great gift. And maybe you're here this morning, you're not a member of this church. I would encourage you to join the church, to become an official member. Not so that you get voting rights and all that kind of stuff, but because God has called us to join with other fellowship, with other believers, to join together to accomplish that which we can't do in ourselves. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. Salvation is not a right either. Salvation is a privilege. Have you received the gift, the privilege of being called a child of God? Received the gift of eternal life that only Jesus Christ can offer? A lot of people, a lot of different faiths will tell you that they're all roads lead to heaven. There are many ways to God. And I suppose in a way that's true. I thought about this a while back. Maybe all ways do lead to God. But here's the difference. Do you believe everyone's going to stand before Him one day? No matter what road they're on? So in that essence, they're right. Yes, all paths will lead to God. And He'll say there in front of you, what did you do with Jesus Christ? Oh, nothing? You're going this way. What did you do with Jesus Christ, Michael Nix? I accepted Him as my Lord and as my Savior, and I gave myself to Him because He gave Himself to me, and I served Him. Enter into the kingdom. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of the Lord. I wait to hear those words. I'm going to hear those words. He's not going to say, you did everything perfect. You earned it. Good job. Congratulations to you. No, no. I will say, Lord, I've messed up. And that's why I needed Jesus, because He is the only perfect one. And He's the one who earned it for me. I just received it. All roads lead to God? Yeah. All roads lead to eternal life? If you consider spending eternity in hell life, I guess you could say that, but no, not really. All roads do not lead to eternal life in heaven with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Me. I believe it. Do I understand it? Fully? If I fully and completely wrap my head around it? Not entirely. But I'm understanding it more and more as the days go by. Because that's the power of the Holy Spirit within me. I'm being transformed. There's proof in that pudding. What you got in yours? I hope and pray that you have the proof in the pudding. If you don't, friend, walk out of here today with a different recipe. Walk out of here today with different ingredients within you. Walk out of here today. Come down and talk to me. I'll be glad to show you, to pray with you, to do the best I can to explain to you the gift of God, the gift of eternal life. Maybe you're like me at 20 years old. Maybe you're like me and you think, you know what, I got saved. I have a Bible somewhere that has a date in it because the church gave me a Bible when I got baptized. I've got it. I can prove it. But you realize, you know what? But there's been no change in me. I've not been transformed. I'm no different than I was before. I'm just older and smarter and maybe better at hiding some things or whatever. Maybe today's the day you need to come and say, Lord, I'm like old Brother Mike up there. I was claiming to be saved, and maybe I was saved, but I'm not living like it, and I'm not living for You. And I want to change that today. I want to open up the gift. I want to experience salvation here, right now, in this place. Maybe that's you. I'm going to be here. I want you to come. I want you to come and see me. Maybe you're not sure of some things. Maybe you just don't know where to start. The altar is open. I prayed this morning that our altar would be filled, that our altar would be wet with tears because people are repenting and coming to Jesus Christ. Coming, feeling sorrow, genuine sorrow for their sins, and saying, this is not what God has called me to live. This is not how God called me to live. This is not what He's called me to be or do. And I want to come and I want to shed that. I want to leave that. I'm going to leave that at the foot of the cross, and I'm going to walk out of here changed and different for the rest of my days. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's you. Maybe you've been coming to church and you're not a church member. And maybe today's the day, at the end of our study, wouldn't that be appropriate? Maybe at the end of our study of I am a church member, you say, you know what? I believe I want to officially become a part of this church because I believe in the direction of this church. I believe in the work of this church. And I believe it's doing what God has called us to do. And I want to be part of it. Maybe that's you today. Whatever your need is, we're here for you. I'll be standing in front. My wife will be here with me. If you're a lady and you just want to pray with Rebecca, that's why she comes up here with me. But this is your time. Let me encourage you. Don't walk out of here the same way you walked in. Walk out of here transformed. Even if you're a born-again Christian and living and loving Lord Jesus Christ and living for Him, you can still walk out of here a little bit different. We ought to every time we come together. We ought to walk out of here continuing to be changed, continuing to be transformed. You see, transformation doesn't happen overnight. We don't come to Jesus like this and then boom, pow, we're all of a sudden completely different in one second. No, it doesn't happen. Transformation is a process. You can't continue to be transformed unless you've begun to be transformed, though. But we ought to always be continuing to be ye therefore transformed. Whatever your need is, folks, this is your time. We're going to have a song. I'm going to have a prayer before we start. But we're going to sing a song. And I don't know how long we're going to be here. We're going to be here till God's through. Amen. Or till we're through with God. Father, help us. Father, help us to love you. Help us to receive the gift. Help us to open it up. Help us to dive in and experience salvation here. Eternity for the Christian begins now. Father, help us to receive it. Help us to believe it. Help us to put our faith and our trust in your word. And help us to be transformed by your spirit until we see you face to face, Father. Lord, we love you. We look forward to that day. But Father, it's not just about that day, it's about the here and now. Help us to be what you've called us to be here in this place. Father, I am a church member. I'm a member of Dolan Baptist Church. But Father, I'm a member of the Universal Church. That is the body of Christ. And I'm proud to admit that. It's nothing I earned. It's a gift. And I receive it. And I'm going to put it to use. Help me, Father. Help me to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand as we sing?